we can proceed. Multiplicity of voices of South Africa are heard in and inform the ultimate outcome of this exercise, because I think that office is very critical. As you know, it's one of the Chapter 9 institutions, critical for the protection of our constitutional democracy. So I'm really pleased to see cross-pollination of political sentiments represented here. So without any further waste of time, and we apologize for starting a bit late, let me just quickly to bring everybody out there on speed as to where we are. We agreed at our first meeting that the list of candidates who were either nominated or forwarded applications for appointment as public protector, following an initial invitation, the closing date of which was the 24th of April this year, 2 days after election, that the CVs would be distributed to all the members, which was done then, and that members were going to look at the CV so that at our second meeting we would agree on whether to go with the list that we had, shortlist and proceed to interviews, or whether we felt that there were compelling circumstances for us to reopen the invitation to receive more information. Our initial date for reporting was the 26th of August, is that correct? We requested an extension from the House, which was granted until the 11th of September, with the hope that by the 9th of September we would have completed our task. However, at the meeting of the Committee of Works of the 25th of August, we realized that for various reasons, it would be ideal and in the best interest of the country that we actually reopen the invitation to the public. And we did our best to publicize that in different forms of media, but more importantly, we issued adverts Sunday before last, inviting people until the close of business on this past Friday. By Thursday, there were only 5 applications on nominations. I haven't been in touch with the committee secretary, so I am just as in the dark as most of you as to how we have fared in our second round of nominations that we would have received during the course of last week. So I am going to invite the, but before I do that, let me just finish off on the historical background to this, to say that we received initially, that is by the deadline of the 24th of April during the last parliament, 2 days into the new parliament, We received 32 nomination stroke applications. We then sat as a collective in our second meeting as a committee on the 25th of August and went through those CVs briefly and came to the conclusion that just over half of those CVs simply did not qualify. Young graduates in the region of 25 years old who were simply looking for a job And as you know, the Act is specific about the minimum requirements that a person must meet in order to qualify for appointment. Obviously, we're not limited to those, but we cannot appoint anybody who falls short of the minimum requirements stated in the Act. Those are that the person must have 10 years experience, must either be a judge or have 10 years experience in the legal field, or 10 years of being a member of parliament. The Act is specific. It's not saying a member of the legislature or a council or anything. It says a member of parliament. I suppose that includes both houses, or a combination of any of those elements. So essentially, looking at what we had then, we felt that just under half of that number would meet the criteria. So we thought that because South Africa was gripped in a very moving, if you like, English is a second language to me, election during the time when the initial advert was issued. Maybe people may have been a bit sidetracked into elections and didn't pay attention to South Africa's call for nomination for a new public protector. So we thought we would give South Africans a second bite at it when things are a bit relaxed, and hope that will get more people interested. So I'm going to ask the committee secretary to just update us as to what happened during the course of the past week. How have we fared in our attempt to get more potential candidates for appointment?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members and our guests. If you're looking at the index that I've just handed out now, you'll notice that there are 19 names from the CVs that we have received after our closing date on Friday. The first candidate, which is Mr. Isamuddin Mohammed, he had submitted his CV earlier on, but he submitted his updated CV because when he called me, he told me that the CV that was submitted was 10 years old. So that means that the committee had received 19 CVs. 18 CVs, with about 12 of the candidates being like very strong potential candidates. If I can just read it out to you, Chairperson. On the list is Mr. Isamuddin Mohammed, and then we've got Advocate LKB Mvumrwana, and then we've got Advocate RW Sikosana, we've got Advocate A. Imbofu, Mrs. Virginia Peterson, Advocate T.P. Mageza, Advocate M.J. Smith, Advocate A.H. Kaum, who is a former Member of Parliament, Mr. Ananroy Ramdo, Advocate L. Pinar, Mr. M. Smith, Advocate M.J. Ralefatane, Advocate M.A. Chiktay, Mr. J.T. Hepper, Mr. W. Tutani, Mr. K.Y. Ken, Mr. J.J. Wanza, Mrs. N. Jubert, and Mr. A.T. Mukoma. So starting from like candidate number 14 on the list, those are the candidates that I thought that, you know, they do not really meet the requirements, but the rest of the candidates are strongly felt that they meet the other potential candidates and meet like the requirements stipulated by the Act. Thank you, Chair.
The committee secretary has been so kind to us as to do the initial sifting for us, so that we don't really waste time on candidates who are clearly not meeting the requirements of the Act. In the first batch that you had, the top 60, yes. Top 15 would be those that qualified, and the rest wouldn't be. So let's make sure that everybody has both batches. The new and old batch. And maybe if people can just indicate if anybody does not have one of the batches, so that they indicate, so that arrangements can be made for them to be provided with say, or they can go and collect them in case they left them, because we're going to use them. All right? Are they here? All right. So it's everybody...
Just the new one, Coach.
Just the new batch. All right. Can you... Is that Mr. Job?
Yes.
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 All right. Okay. And I don't have the list as such. I only have the batch. Right. But everybody has the new list.
Yes.
On top of their batch. So that is easy. All right. Now, does anybody suggest that we go through the names that are earmarked to be simply not qualifying for appointment as well? Or should we simply go straight into looking at those names that we think that, in other words, we want to re-shortlist in the sense of going through every single name now and verify collectively whether indeed a particular name is, as the secretary says, falling short of the minimum requirements? Or do we accept the initial screening that's been done so that we focus on only on the names that have passed this initial screening? Yes.
As we have already commended to the secretary, I also do commend him for the job he has already done. I think if they don't meet the requirement, we don't have to waste our time really by looking at them, because this is a statutory appointment. It has got requirements. If they don't meet, really, it's a waste of time to go through their names. We will just eliminate them.
Is there a different view? All right.
It's not a difference. If I just say that I'm sure, in order to just discharge our duty, we should just cast an eye. I trust him because he's sifting. But nevertheless, just for the sake of absolute fairness, I'm sure we should just each individually glance at that.
Maybe what I will do is request the secretary to start first with those that don't qualify and just in one or two sentences explain what is it with that specific CV that renders that specific applicant not to qualify. We did a bit of a run with the first batch. But maybe we can just do it with the second batch, because at our meeting on the 25th, we did make a quick run on the first batch. Let's start with the second batch, and we may want to go back to the first batch if we so wish. Can you just quickly take us through CV number 14 to 19? Is it 14 or 15 to 19? 14 to 19. Just tell us briefly who they are. What is it? I understand that anecdotally, somebody phoned from the Northern Cape and said that he is in the security industry and he thinks he could be a very good public protector for South Africa. So there is a level of misunderstanding sometimes that you get as to what kind of protection you're talking about. Some people may have seen the incident in Tswane and they have thought, we can offer better protection to South Africa. But on that note, please proceed.
Thank you, Sebastian. If you can look at candidate number 14, Mr. J.T. Hepper, he's got like a strong financial background tray, and he's currently working as an associate director at Ernst & Young, and he does not possess any legal background tray.
So what is it, a chartered accountant?
He's an associate director, CA for Ernst & Young.
So he's quite senior. So what disqualifies him is that he is not a lawyer, basically. And and he's never been a member of parliament. You must put that in your CV, that you've been a member of parliament. It's serious. It's the list of qualifications that you should be putting on your CV. You spend a significant part of your life. Yeah. But yes, the act is fairly clear on this, and unfortunately, that's the way it's written. We may have different views about it, but that's the way it is. All right.
Can I have the badge, please?
What is the situation? Are they still putting it together?
No, I've got the old one.
Yes, yes.
Just asking me the question. I've got the old one.
Yes,
I don't have the new one.
Yes. No, no. It's unfair for us to proceed when one of our colleagues is not.
Don't try to be smart with me.
Now you know.
But I'm taking notes, Chetas, and I don't want to delay. Okay.
Yeah. Just in passing, in my other deployment in Parliament, I was the House Whip, and one of the tasks of the House Whip was to preside over the issue of allocation of seating in the House, and when it came to the allocation of front seats on the opposition side, it was quite a challenge. It was a question of, who do you allocate the most front seat in terms of hierarchy of leadership within the party. And I don't know if it was eventually resolved, but I left that position of how with that matter not having been properly resolved. So I hope, all right. Okay. Are we somewhere?
Tutani.
Right. Yes. So we have Mr. Tutani, who is currently working for the Auditor General as a business executive the governance business unit. He does have a strong legal background, but he only practiced for 5 years as an attorney between 1980 and 1985. And he does, like I said, he does have a strong legal background, but because
what did you do after that?
After that, he went to work as for the Transkei Agricultural Corporation Limited as a corporate secretary and corporate manager, and then was an acting general manager, finance and administration. And then he worked for the Independent Broadcasting Authority as a legal advisor. And then he worked for Petro SA as a senior manager on legal services. And from there went to work for Business Connection Proprietary Limited as a group manager legal services. And then went to work for Auditor General, the Business Executive Governance Business Unit.
May I ask a question? Someone who's held the position of a head of legal services in a sizable corporation like Business Connection. Surely that counts as legal experience. Please remind me of the exact phrasing in the Constitution.
Yes, the Act says, and if you look at your first batch, we've attached a copy of the Act right at the top, immediately after the list. Section 1A, sub 3, lists A up to F as the criteria. Now, the first criterion is that you must... Yes.
Can you read again section
1A?
Section 1A of the Public Protector Act, subsection 3 thereof, has paragraph A up to F. And those paragraphs outline the criteria. The first one is that you must be a judge of the High Court. The second one is that you must have
admitted.
Just read it. The second one. The first one says
Okay, the public protector shall be a South African citizen who is a fit and proper person to hold such office and who, A, is a judge of a high court, or B, is admitted as an advocate or an attorney and has, for a cumulative period of at least 10 years after having been so admitted, practiced as an advocate or an attorney, or is qualified to be admitted as an advocate or an attorney and has, for a cumulative period of at least 10 years after having so qualified, lectured in law at a university, or D, has specialized knowledge of or experience for a cumulative period of at least 10 years in the administration of justice, public administration, or public finance, or E, has for a cumulative period of at least 10 years been a member of parliament, or F, has acquired any combination of experience mentioned in paragraphs B to E for a cumulative period of at least 10 years.
D, can you just read the D back again?
They have specialized knowledge of or experience for a cumulative period of at least 10 years in the administration of justice, public administration, or public finance.
Mm.
Therefore,
they
cannot
qualify. So it means that, in fact, that the person actually, those criteria should actually be taken into account. Can we check how much time does that accumulation amount to in total, number of years? He says he practiced for 5 years, and from which year did he start with administration?
He practiced from 1980 to 1985 as an attorney, and then from 1985 to 1988, he worked as a senior legal advisor for the Department of Post and Telecommunications in Transkei, and then he worked for the Transkei Agricultural Corporation Limited from 1989 to 1992 as a corporate secretary commercial manager, and as an acting general manager finance and administration 1992 to 1994.
Where?
Transkei. Transkei Agricultural Corporation Limited.
Yes, sir. Yeah. All right. That sounds. I think we did not put sufficient emphasis on paragraph D. It seems to be quite broad, eh?
Yeah.
So I think we should include that candidate as well. All right. Might as well make sure that we double check the secretary's own judgment. There we go. All right. Can we go to the next one?
Okay, so the next one is candidate Kaida Yusuf Khan. He's worked as a senior teacher for the past 27 years, and he does not have any legal background according to what he's put on his CV.
But what does he have?
And his professional experience, just a senior teacher, 27 years experience, largely responsible for the teaching of human rights issues, principles of Matupele and Ubuntu, and then restoring the dignity of our fragmented and marginalized communities.
Could he meet the criteria of paragraph D? Can I get somebody who worked as a teacher? That's not part of the administration. There's a clear distinction between the professional and the administrative sections within the public service. Hey, you have your teachers, your nurses, your doctors who are out in the field, and then you have people who are in Pretoria, in Tshwane, and elsewhere in provincial headquarters who are actually doing the actual administration. It seems as if those are what paragraph D, the latter, is what paragraph D envisages.
The other question?
Yes.
The issue of age, what does it
mean? No, there is no, it's only 10 years experience, working experience.
So an 8-year-old man can also be appointed to
this? Well, technically speaking, yes. Yes, Honorable Spagnoli.
Because
Use your mic. Maybe we're being recorded.
Okay. Because the Constitution talks about no discrimination. In other words, you cannot discriminate on the basis of age. It was one of the grounds of saying that there should be no discrimination among these foreign grants. So if you can say a person is 8 years, just for that you're not considering him, then he can say you have violated his constitutional rights.
That person is under 18. That person will need accumulated 10 years.
I just wanted to say there's no age, because I don't want to get into this, because once you say that, then the comparison, what is written, that already there is discrimination in this thing, but discrimination is a very different thing.
Yeah. The Constitution says you may discriminate as long as you don't unfairly discriminate.
Yes.
Yeah.
No one
All right.
Young people can complain that.
All right. Okay. So what are we saying about Mr. Who?
Number 16.
So are we agreed that he doesn't qualify?
Yeah, no, he doesn't.
All right. Everybody happy with that? All right. Okay. We can continue serving our education system well, as we have done in the past 27 years. All right. And the next one? Is this the last one?
Second last. Too much.
All right.
Too much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The next one is Mr. J.J. Wanza.
Mm-hmm.
His qualification is Def Opleiding in Stasi Erken Learning Foundation, Gemeende Borderij. Stellenbosch, Kote, NQ3, Lambo, maybe Mrs. Martz can help us with the translation.
He's Africans challenge to this gentleman. Yeah, all right. What does he have? Tell us why you say he doesn't qualify, Ms.
No?
Can you assist us? You don't have to give us the full CV, just give us the essence of. Yeah. Did you want the secretary in the meantime? Secretary, what are the best? All right.
Elgin Learning Foundation.
Your microphone, please.
He attended the Elgin Learning Foundation, where it is mixed farming. And that Stellenbosch is with number three agriculture. What that, I'm not sure what that means. His community thanks us for giving them the opportunity to nominate Mr. Wanza. He's a very honest person. He does a lot in his community. He's born in Ashton. Oh, it's so beautiful there.
You seem to be focusing on all the wrong criteria.
I was in Robertson on Saturday. spring day. Went to school in
Looks
Ashton,
like the spring in the air.
Ashton, primary and high, has good communication ability, good human relationships, joined Ashton Small Scale Farmers in 2000. Works for the community.
Anything about his qualifications?
Sober in his habits. None of the requisites.
Sounds like a very good person.
Sounds a wonderful person. Wonderful person.
Very good.
Paradise, but I don't think he has the requisites.
I can recommend him for ministry.
Mr. Mlileki, George, you've been in the executive, so you can guide us. All right. So this agreement that the good soul is a very good citizen, but does not meet the criteria of the act. All right. The last one.
The second lecture, we have Miss Nelia Hubert.
Yeah.
His work experience include having worked for Health Waste Dietetic Consultancy. He's the owner for the past 17 years. And then he's also Hospital Med Forum Dietitian, Johannesburg Hospital Dietitian. And other work-related activities include the ADSA portfolio. She was a dietitian lead and consultant between 2003 and 2004. and then she's a member of the South African Nutrition Society and ADSA as a full member. And she's acquired the Senior Secretarial Diploma Technical Pretoria in 1976 and BIMUS 1 Pretoria University in 1973.
Now, I think she will contribute well towards the health of our society, but clearly she wouldn't. Yeah, maybe we can recommend her to Parliament with regard to the catering section. We should find a way to refer people who might not qualify here but might provide a very useful service elsewhere.
Yes, I'm turning into a
labor broker. Oh, am I? Running into trouble. Now, as long as I don't charge a fee, I'm coming.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So that is the new...
The last one.
Oh, is that the last one? Hey, why am I in a rush?
Okay, so the last one is Mr. Andrew Tamsanga Mukoma. Mm-hmm. Who has also done a lot of social transformation, but there are no qualifications. He didn't take any qualification. All that he said that he's a deputy chairperson of the Rigwala branch of the ANC. He's also the executive member of the Free State Community Policing Forum Provincial Board. His role is to combat crime together with SAPS.
What does he say? Can you tell us?
I nominate Mr. Mukoma for...
Your microphone, please.
Hi, Mrs. Kabulile. Ida Blessing from Gwane. Nominate Mr. Mukoma for public work.
Oh. We may have... he may have sent his privy to the wrong department. All right. Okay. All right. So that's... So we left with the first, how many? 13.
With
14. So the first 14 we will consider. We will add them to the first 15 of the first batch. And we'll have 29 CVs to look at. Right. Now, how do we want to proceed? I see DA and Cope are in some kind of caucus there. Can we share the...
We want to be sure that we're giving everybody appropriate attention, and we were just rechecking Mr. Harper, who's also a CA, to make sure before we exclude him...
Where is this? The first or the second batch?
Number 13. I beg your pardon, number 14.
Number 14.
As this is now the last instance of the people considered not to qualify.
Now, I thought we agreed that number 14 is coming in.
Mr. Tani is actually number 15.
Number 15.
Yeah, we said everything up to now 15 is going to be considered.
Oh, all right. So you're considering Mr. Harper as well.
So we're going to consider everybody up to number 15 now. Initially, we're going to consider up to number 14. And we're going to add that 15 to the first 15 of the first batch to make it a total of, 30. So we have 30 candidates, out of which we then need to shortlist a certain number of those that we are then going to invite for interviews. Can I just get an indication? Do we want to agree on a ceiling in terms of the total number of candidates up front that we're going to invite? Or do we first want to go through the CVs and then make that decision later? That if you get up to, say, number 10, then you are going to be interviewed, and from number 11 upwards, then you are cut out. Do you want to make that maximum number an upfront decision, or do we want to only after we've gone through the CVs decide what the maximum number of people that will be invited will be? that's a process issue. Ms. Jaja?
Chairperson, I'm not speaking to that. I'm going to the issue that Member Smart has raised. But let's go back to number 14, because we haven't made the decision that he qualifies. Let's do it properly as we've done with Thutani.
What I had proposed is that the Secretary's proposal effectively was saying number 1 to number 14 qualify. And then it's up to us to then go through 1 up to 14. But then we discovered that actually number 15 should also be included in the pool. That's why we're now going up to number 15. So we're going to go up from number 1 to right up to 15 now. So number 14 will also be included automatically. That's how we're proposing. Unless you want to make a different proposal. Because once we've said that we've taken out those that clearly do not qualify, it means that everybody else that remains must then be looked at. All right? So now, yes, Mr.
Chair, I'm not jumping on you, but I think what Ms. Lodler is saying, he's saying that number 14, when we look at the CV, we were in between. We didn't decide.
Correctly. So we need to decide whether
we need
that
decide
they should fall within the pool or
full or outside
right,
the pool.
Okay.
That's what she's asking.
Right.
Not that we were excluding him or her,
right.
But just to include in the pool or whatever.
All right. So we need to make that. All right. Okay, I hear you now. Sorry for the misunderstanding. All right. Can somebody take us through number 14? Secretary, do you want to kick off and just give us a quick run of number 14?
Okay. Mr. Hepper is currently working for Ernst & Young as an associate director. That is from January 2009. And before that, he worked for Borstal Technologies as a financial director between April 2003 up until December 2008. And before that, he worked for Fisher Hoffman PKF as a partner and a manager between 1989 and 2003. And before that, he worked for Ready Mix Materials, now Lafarge, as a group financial manager between 1986 and 1989. And he was also a trainee accountant at Fisher Hoffman PKF between 1976 to 1986.
I understand the concern from Ms. Lodge. What, in your opinion, made her to qualify for potential nomination or appointment? I don't seem to see any experience in administration or legal practice or academia. Or you didn't qualify her. Or him. Oh, so basically what we did is that we should have skipped number 14, took number 15, but instead we assumed that we are moving up to number 15. All right.
That's
now.
Correct. And
that's now
I were just worried that we might not have given Mr. 14 attention.
Yeah. Now I lost the wavelength there, so I'm now on the same wavelength with you. All right. Excellent. So 14 is.
Can I
yeah.
just
yes.
add to you?
Yes.
You say it doesn't have administration experience.
Public administration in
public
work in government.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how many years you worked for Anglo American, as long as you've never worked in public works or something. all that experience, valuable experience, count for nothing. That is according to the Act. So unfortunately, that's what we're working with.
Chair?
Yes.
Let's not forget he has got some public finance experience. I'm not sure I can add them up for you as we go here. But
where?
If you look under task assignments.
Yes.
Eastern Cape Department of Health, project manager
for
establishment, head office. Now I can't do a running count for you here. It isn't divided up under years.
You see, the candidates
have the onus of proving that they meet the criteria of
this
the Act.
Yeah.
So they need to stipulate things that they know the Act requires and not let us through the microscope look for them, you know, because they're simply doing themselves injustice by not highlighting that which is going to be the decisive factor as to whether they're even considered or not. Unless somebody is able to establish from the CV itself that these people or that person has a cumulative experience in public administration for at least 10 years put together, then we can consider. But if we cannot detect that from the CV itself, I'm afraid we would not be able to shortlist, because the process of shortlisting in itself must be based on what the CV tells us. We can't say we'll invite you to the interviews and then you'll convince us there that in fact you meet the requirements of the Act. The paper work alone must show us that. All right? So we will exclude number 14 on that that ground.
Mm.
All right. So 1 up to 13 plus 15.
Yes.
Right. So now going forward, do we want to then plow through? Well, I had asked an earlier question. How do we want to do this? Do we want to upfront agree on it? Yes.
May I suggest that rather than setting a concrete number, we set ourselves a kind of a target.
Mm-hmm.
The shorter you're interviewing this is, the more sensible, of course, from many points of view.
Mm-hmm.
It means you've sifted it right down to the real prospects, and we don't waste taxpayers' money flying people in. This is not always possible, and one also, on the other hand, one doesn't want to exclude what looks like possible talent, which one can only judge when you have interviewed people. So let's not be rigid, but I would say normally I suggest you try for twice the number you need. In this case, that gives us too short a list, since we're looking for one person. So maybe we look for half a dozen maximum. If there are, say, four people who stand out head and shoulders above others, I would be happy with the shortlist for interview of four. If, on the other hand, there are seven people who are simply so dazzling we don't want to leave them out, we do the seven. But if one targets, say, double or triple the number, but as a target, and I don't think we should be too rigid.
All right, let me hear more views. Yes, Ms. Lodge.
I would agree and to extend the number to six at least and leave it at that.
All right. Yes, that's Mr. Michael. Thank you for coming.
Apologies for being late, Chair, but I hope
Tim
McCourty gave through my apologies. Chair, yes, I think those of us that were in the first meeting before we decided to re-advertise, one of the points that came across very strongly was that we were looking at a group of six, no more than seven.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I agree with Honourable Smuts and with the Honourable member over there said, I think six, but definitely no more than seven.
All right. Okay. Now, can I propose that let me not propose. Let me ask the further question. How do we propose to arrive at the six? Do we go through the list sequentially as it appears and indicate on each occasion whether we think that name should go into the six or whether that name can be compromised in that it's not an outstanding CV? And then perhaps if we exceed six, we then review and see. The ideal would be that the short list is one which we are all happy with. By all, I mean across various political sentiments represented here. How best can we draw on the experience of others who have been through these processes? I'm sure Ms. Smetchi sat in virtually all of them, or most of them. So you're quite experienced there. Do you want to share an idea about the process of arriving at the six?
I do think what works best is that people study the CVs and we then come back each with our proposed list. Whether that is possible in this case, I don't know, since we've all just received these and there's also merit in working through them together.
Yeah.
But what usually works best is that people study intensively all of the CVs and come with their short lists that MPs then see where their lists go inside. Which makes those easy choices, and then discuss or negotiate about extra names, which not everybody wants. May I?
Yeah.
In respect of the first batch, which we've all already worked through, and
yeah.
And I believe, I mean, Ms. Michael certainly had her nominees from those. Did you not leave the process at a point where you had already shortlisted out of the old batches? Is that not the case?
No, we did not do that because we thought the only thing we did was to accept the initial screening, which is what we've just done with regard to the second batch. So that first step has now come full circle. It's now completed. Mm. And that was the initial screening process. We're now happy that out of both batches, we're now having 30 strong potential candidates out of which we need to draw excellence by way of shortlisting. So we haven't done shortlisting of either batches. And today onwards, our next step now is to actually do that second phase, which is the shortlisting out of the 30. So you have made a proposal.
I've got another proposal.
All right, Mr. Ndlovu.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got another proposal, which it differs a little bit to what Ms. Murphy is saying. In the first batch, Chairperson, you know that we went up to a 16. That's the number, 1 to 16. But I'm not talking about the second batch. I'm talking about the first batch that we talked about last time. I think maybe it would be wise, therefore, if we sift it the way how you think we should be, so that when we go back with a new batch, then we can add on and see now who's come becoming short, above the shoulder of the others when we sift the second batch. Because now we can't, if we live where we live here with two batches with 30 names, but if we live here with around about 14 names, and when we have already done with the first 15 names, maybe it will be better. And that is my thinking, because the first batch is the old one that we have. Therefore, we can look at it and see, and then live with the new one, and then go back to see the new one. Then when we see the new ones, then we can compare the old one and the new one and see how far we come to 6 or 7. Thank you very much.
That seems to be sensible, to say that we have no excuse with regard to shortlisting the first batch. Because I think the way in which shortlisting should happen should come in two phases. The first phase is to look for outstanding CVs. Then the second phase is to look at whether the total number of outstanding CVs that we were able to identify exceed the number 6 that we agreed on for purposes of inviting to interviews. If they do exceed 6, then we're going to have to prioritize to say how do we cut it or whittle it down to 6. Because the idea first and foremost should be to search for talent, the best available talent in this pool. So I would say let the first phase be a little more relaxed, where we're looking for the best talent, even if we may end up with 10. Obviously, we can't end up with all 30. Then the process is self-defeating. Yes, Mr. George.
Well, I just wonder why this question might sound very controversial, but
all right.
I feel I must ask it.
Yes.
I don't want to get involved in an academic exercise.
All right.
If you people have decided on a name,
yeah.
Let's know that, so that I don't want to go and look at all these names to all night.
But can you just explain as to when you say you people?
I'm talking the ruling party, because it's got numbers. I'm being factual. The ruling party has got numbers. If the ruling party has decided on a name, it's even worse when it is one name. We had a problem where we're talking about ACAC reports, where everything was used on numbers. You see, because I'm prepared to sit and endorse what you have agreed, because there's not much I can do. But I don't want us to sit here purely to legitimize what you want. That's why I'm saying, if you've got a name, because I'm worried about sitting here going and listening, because that takes time. And only to find that all that I'm doing is just an academic exercise.
Yeah. Can I just clear this, because I think it's important. You may have read in the papers last time rumors being made that Advocate Johnny De Lange is being fielded. And of course, those will always be rumors. Advocate Johnny De Lange's name does not even feature amongst be it the first or the second batch. I can assure you that I have been in touch with the political leadership, Chief Whip and so on, throughout the past 2 weeks, and at no stage was I given a name of a person who the ruling party would prefer to be a candidate for this position. And in fact, I can assure you that even prior to the last meeting, we sat as a study group and went through this this pile of names. And we had our own views about who are the strong candidates. But our view collectively in our own study group was that let's go and hear out other people and be open to persuasion. So essentially, we are going to sit here and we're going to plow through the names. We're going to listen to each other, hear what Honorable Smuts' views are on a particular name. You hear what my view as Mike Masuta is on that name, and you know, compare notes between each other and see ultimately, you know, who we think, you know, in the light of all the imperatives of our constitutional democracy would be an ideal candidate. So I can assure you, nobody from the Thule House has called me till today to instruct me to appoint a particular person in South Africa as public protector, and I think I need to put that for the record. All right. Right. All right. So let's plow through this together and see where it all leads us. All right. Ms. Michael, and then I'll come to
Chair, I think it's important to give a bit of background the members that weren't here when we had the first meeting of the public protector, because I must tell you it was a very amicable decision amongst all the parties that were present in that meeting, that the first batch of CVs that we received, albeit small, there were some exceptional candidates that appeared within that batch. And we even went further on to say that we didn't want a situation that was similar to the Human Rights Commission, where all the new applications were immediately shortlisted above the applications that we'd received already. And I think it's fair to say that that is not happening, which I'm very, very pleased about, because there are two or three exceptional names in that first batch. And Chair, you'll remember, I even went so far as to read sections of one of the CVs of one of the candidates that for me shone out as a star amongst all of them. So I think that the whole way that this committee is approaching this appointment of the public protector, it instilled me with a lot of good faith, because it really was a group effort and a multi-party effort, and at no stage were we bombarded by the ruling party saying this is how it's going to be. And I strongly hope that, that spirit continues, because I was very happy. And you can ask Honourable Smuts. I came out and I said to her, I liked the way the meeting had flowed in that respect. So just so that people know, the way it ended last time was that this is a group decision and definitely not a decision being made by Ntuli House.
I am happy with that, especially coming from the opposition. Sorry, before I even comment, Honourable Ndabani.
Chairperson, the response by Mrs. Michaels changes what I was about to say. And then I'm going now to suggest that I was not in that last meeting. Unfortunately, I was not aware of what she has just said. But having heard what she has said, my suggestion is that we must take that number you have agreed on, and then we add on it with this new list.
No, I don't think you accurately understood her. She says that she had particular names who she felt strongly about. All right. Let me, by the way, indicate that at the last meeting, one of the reasons why we did not proceed to shortlist, there were two reasons. One was because we wanted to open it up again. But secondly, we were concerned about the participation at the meeting. We felt that not only in terms of the numbers, but in terms of party representation, you know, cross-pollination of political ideas. We felt that it would be ideal if we did the critical work of shortlisting being a bigger complement of political representation on the committee. So we never really got to the exact point as a collective of shortlisting. So shortlisting has not happened. Shortlisting starts today, for the record. And this collective here is the one that's going to do the shortlist. All right? So that's where we are. Yes, Mr. Andaman.
That now takes me back now to my original suggestion.
All right.
Let's take both these bunches, therefore,
yes,
and come out with these six. Each member of this committee,
yes,
must come with a preference of his six candidates. Is ever great with the number that must be six?
Yeah.
And then we follow the advice, actually the view of Ms. Smuts.
Yeah.
And then we take those we agree upon.
So you prefer that this collective exercise be done? Sorry, you prefer that we first go and review the entirety of the two batches individually, and then come back again. Let me just indicate that we have set aside tomorrow as another sitting day for the committee, precisely in anticipation that this may spill over. But of course, we would prefer the kind of complement that we have today to be repeated when we do the important task of finally agreeing on the shortlist. It's critical. So I would want to check. We also have the possibility to sit in the afternoon. Special permission? The chair of chairs did indicate to me that if special compelling circumstances arise, we could even be given special permission to sit in the afternoon. So I'm just putting all of those possibilities up front. But the point is that we now need to make a decision. Do we defer the process of shortlisting in its entirety, go and compare the two batches, sit in our little study groups and so on, compare notes wherever, in our little corners, and then come back in the collective plenary and agree finally on the six. Is that what is being proposed? Yes, Honourable Judge.
Chair, I was going to suggest a different route, especially that time now is, say, 25 past 10. The lady says
you have already started and you have identified some names in this first batch. And I would suggest that you go through that process. Even if we're going to go back to our study groups, let's go back with the names. Because it does not help me to go and come with complete names, then they come with complete names, then all of us have got, if we are five parties here, all five different names. At least if I go to where I come from and say, these are the names which we have, at least there seems to be some, then can we talk on these names? You must understand we're only talking about one person. So my view is that can we not start the process using this type?
In fact, I'm going to propose a process that is along those lines.
Yeah.
But after I've heard Ms. Lodlow's views as well. But please proceed to continue.
No, in fact, that was my proposal, that at least we start the process and then proceed. Fortunately, the work has already been started in this first batch. That we're not there. It's not the fault of these people here. What we can do, we will listen and probably benefit from the discussion, and then we go to this extra 15, so that by the time we go back, at least we have the sense of these are the names to work on.
Ms. Lazar?
Chairperson, I'm not sure if hybrids work. But I would have wanted to go with what the honourable member had suggested, but not restrict individuals to six, because the six was going to be a ballpoint figure for the committee itself to whittle the numbers down to six, but not the individuals. Because if I see that there's more than six names here that are good, I would want to be given the opportunity to present what I think are good names for good CVs for the position. But obviously without being ridiculous on numbers, because it's then going to take a lot of time and it's going to be unfair on other members. I heard you to be saying that on the day that you met, because unfortunately I'm also one of those that is coming for the first time, you have not decided on names. But what would help, rather than sitting here and listening to names of individuals when others have not had the opportunity, I can understand where Honourable George is coming from, and with respect to the other members that had attended, that I would want to suggest that we take the initial suggestion by the Honourable Member and also take into account names from people that have already gone through the CVs. So we will just tick the name, go back, come again, and but it's not going to help me to go through the 20 names here and another 15. So let's rather have the names from the individuals, because of the spirit that you have projected at the meeting to be of, that will go on the names that people have already looked at and think are good names. I might agree with some of the names for that matter. And let's not leave it to Honourable Luleki's suggestion only. But they could give us the names, look at the earlier suggestion and come back again.
All right. Let me just indicate that obviously with regard to the first batch, various parties had an opportunity to interact with that batch and individuals in their individual and collective capacities as members of the committee from the different parties. So one would have expected that by now, individuals and parties have kind of developed a particular inclination. Certainly in the ANC, I can tell you now that we had a study group and we thought of particular names. We can share those names as well. Probably some of those names would be shared by the DA and so on. But let's maybe do that. Let's say, I'm not sure if we're ready. Ms. Ndiza is not here. She was my second, my right-hand lady, and today she's abandoned me to assist me in this task. But I think those that are ready to or
already put forward names that they think from the first batch would be strong candidates for the position. Perhaps we should allow that to happen. And do that and see how far that takes us. Provided that we open up the process to the second round where we would shortlist the second batch.
Yes.
All right?
Yes,
Mr. Androvo?
Yes, Chairperson, I totally agree with you, but because it is important that we put the names that are being proposed here are just going to the pool. It's not that we say this is the best one out of the other one. We are putting names as a collective so that when we discuss at the end of the day, we know what we're discussing. The IFP, firstly, let me put the names. I'm just putting the names now because you asked for it. Are you interested?
Can I reluctantly request? I know we've lost a bit of time at the beginning. I would want to just allow parties some space to ready themselves before we get into names for a few minutes. Would people have difficulty enough breaking for a short while?
No, if you need it, that's fine. But we also already, Ms. Michael will
be
on the table from the first day.
I would want to interact with my own colleagues as well.
Okay.
Because we've had our own study groups and we'd want to bring everybody on board as well.
Yes.
Maybe you must guide me if I haven't got the picture correctly, but I don't want us to lose the morning and even this afternoon. Is it not possible, if it's your ruling that we're all going to have a little time to look at the second batch and come back with names, is it not possible to agree to come back at 12 o'clock or even at lunchtime, skip the lunch? And am I not right in thinking it's quite a short sitting this afternoon? The alternative is to come back at 3. But people run away. The morning is better from that way. See, if we each, I mean, we could sit here and do the work right here. If we each immediately attend to these CVs, why can't we come back by middle of the day with our proposed choices from the second batch, and we already have our choices from the first batch? I'm scared of losing the day.
So you're suggesting that we pull everything together for later? Or we do the first batch.
Why can't we shortlist today?
Yes, no, I'm just saying pull everything together for later today. Or do the first batch now and do the second batch later.
Either way, because we're always in the...
But I would generally be comfortable with the suggestion that we push for a situation where we can conclude matters.
We must.
Today.
We must.
So that we can, as soon as possible, be in a position to already issue invitations out for people to prepare themselves for some time. So that is a very attractive idea. Mr. Androvo?
Well, Chairperson, it's a slight different. Is that if we break now, we break for how long? For the first batch. But for the second batch, I think we can go to the house and then come back because the house is sitting for 45 minutes, if it's not 1 hour or so, and then come back to do the second batch. We can do the second batch together because we already know what we want at the end of the day. The second batch that we got it today, we can do it together as collective and then see how far we take it. That's how I see it. Because the first batch, we have, as parties, we have already identified the first batch. Therefore, the second batch will be easier because we'll be talking to each other about it and so on.
When my honourable colleague from the IFP says that, he doesn't mean that we will come back and start reading. It means we're all now, we come back with our choices and then we discuss who's going to be best for this office and make a short. Yeah, fine.
Look, can I just suggest that we break now until 11? It's just about past 10:30. We give each other a good 30 minutes to go and what's the Afrikaans word? Now there's a word in Afrikaans, nice Afrikaans.
Why do you want to speak in Afrikaans?
I don't know what you mean.
Not smoko, something so. Something go. Scanner. Yeah, go and scanner a bit for 30 minutes. Thanks, Ms. Jolla, for saving me. Yeah. The secretary, yeah?
Thank you, Chair. Another member, I can just request that if you look like on the first batch CV number one, there's actually another CV that is attached to that CV. So that CV should be number nine, actually. So if you notice, if you look on the index, you'll see that there is no number nine. So that CV, that CV that is attached to number one should be number one. That is the CV of Advocate Birata Shedrick Mashi.
Yes. So that is now number. You know what? Can I request that we all look at that list of the first batch and correct some numbering there? That is the first correction. If the secretary can just lead us on that, because that would bring on board those that were not part of our first meeting, because we did a bit of reorganization. There's some names who fell out of the first top 15 actually shouldn't have fallen out of the top 15 and vice versa. Can you just clarify that whole thing? And then let's note it if we have our pens ready.
Thank you, Chair. It's
yeah, sure.
Just on that number, on that number nine CV that was attached to number one, and then on CV number 29.
So we now have a new number nine.
Yes, sir. Because
there was eight and then 11.
Yes, sir. Because
eight and then 10.
Yes, sir. Because there was CV number nine. CV number nine and number 10 is actually one CV. Sorry, CV number 8 and number 9 is actually one CV that belonged to Mr. Solomon Mukumukaba. But two people, two different institutions nominated that person. So when the committee assistant compiled the CV, then she didn't pick that up. So, and
so,
then...
So in other words, an attachment to CV number 1
should be number
plus CV number 8. Together should be CV number 8. All right? Are we all on board? Because they relate to the same person.
CV 8.
Nominated by different people. Different
CV
8
people.
CV 8
and
9. And new 9. New 9. All right? One person. All right? The second correction?
Just to correct the Chair. CV number 9 is the one that is attached to CV number 1. And if you notice, we do have a CV number 8 and number 9 on the batch, but it should be CV number 8 because the two CVs, which is number 8 and number 9, they belong to one person. Yes.
So the number 9 slot remains open.
That is right. The CV that is attached on number 1 is going to be number 9.
Oh, all right. And then CV number 8 plus the previous 9 will be part of CV number 8. All right.
And then,
okay.
And then,
yes. Can you give us, if you look at CV number 1, are you with CV number 1? That person attached to that CV is another person, totally different person. So the idea is to actually detach that CV from CV number 1 and make it CV number 9. So the names of the people, who's CV number 1?
Number 1 is Advocate Simon Mahlangu.
And then the attachment?
Is Advocate Lirata Shedrick Mashi.
So Mashi
is number
becomes
nine.
Number 9 and Mahlangu remains number 1.
Yes, sir.
Right.
And then if you notice on 8 and 9, CV 8 and 9, that is now besides Advocate Mashi's CV, that is going to be our new number 9. If you notice, on there is a number 9 that is there, but it should actually be number 8, because number 8 and number 9 is
except
the
same. Mine does
CV.
Not have 9. It goes up to 8 and then it has 10.
No, on the
badge. Or on the badge itself. All right. On the, even though on the list here,
On the list you have 8 and then you have 10. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Now, that was an error. There is, in fact, if you look at the CV, there is a CV that's marked 9.
Yes.
So that 9 is going to be part of 8. And that's who?
Mukaba.
That Mukaba appears twice. Appears as 8 and as 9. Now, the two CVs are going to be combined and be number 8.
Yes.
And then the attachment to CV number 1 is now going to move to number 9 slot.
Yes.
Are we all together?
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. Right. So that's where we are. Yeah? Secretary, any further adjustments?
You said that the same mistake that you saw on CV number 8 and 9 applied again on number 29 and 30. So CV number 29 and 30 belong to one person. So that is why you see on the index we have up until we have 31 CVs, but it's actually 30. So 29 and 20 and 30 belong to one person, which is Comrade Godfrey Abel Mutswane.
So in effect, although we have 32 CVs, in effect we have 30 CVs, because two occasions we have repetition. All right. So in this case, the repetition is between 29 and 30.
Yes, sir.
All right. So one. All right. Any further corrections on the?
No, sir.
All right. Are we all on the same wavelength now? After the last meeting, when I went through the CVs, I realized that some of his screening needed to be reviewed, like we did with the screening today of today's batch. I just wanted to clarify what the proposal there is. You see, there is CV number 15. Now, that CV, when one looks at it closely, it's one of those that clearly do not meet the criteria. So his judgment, I was not convinced with, as we did with today's batch, you'd recall the certain adjustments that we made. So this is another round of adjustments that I wanted to put forward. If you look at number 15 and the criteria there, clearly it's not ideal that...
In the first batch.
Yeah, in the first batch.
Yeah.
And then can you just bring me a pen? It's 29, 7. Secondly, if you look at number 27, Ms. Vusmuz Ndaba, 27, I was of the view that you could simply swap 15 with 27. Because 27 is a much more likely candidate than number 15. So we simply drop the numbers. We actually swapped the numbers.
Yeah.
we note that, because I respect the fact that you have applied the same careful process to the first batch that we did today, could we note that? But, you know, whether it's really going to affect the choice of names that we come back with. For example, there was, you know, that we have a choice of two, and they're anyway both in the top. But there would have been nothing to prevent us from coming back with number 27.
Yes.
You know, even though Tim and Courtney had done this extra
work. We just wanted to make sure, because the whole idea is that we're attaching very little value to the second half of the list. But we wanted to make sure that we have indeed applied our minds properly before we even arrive at the second phase. Remember, we're doing this in stages. The first stage is a screening stage. The second stage is a shortlisting stage. And the third stage is the interviewing stage. And, of course, the last one is the appointment stage. So it was just to make sure that the first step was done accurately. All right? Right. So, and then there was something about CV number... The second suggestion was that the list goes up to number 16, with, of course, the adjustment to number 15 that we've just agreed on, to include the imam there on number 16. I thought that I needed to put it to the committee to look at number 16 and decide whether indeed, in our opinion, number 16 should not meet the initial screening criteria. Can we just check quickly whether we would agree with that or we would still want to go up to number 15?
In fact, in our first meeting, because of this numbering was wrong, that is why we went up to number 15. In fact, we wanted to go to our number 16. And then Imamen was within the approved list that we have to look at. Not that we have to look at it now, but because of the numbering, that number 9 was running short there. That is when it went down to number 16. But others may follow up there.
I am saying, maybe let me just quickly ask the secretary to just run through number 16 quickly so that we're on the same page. Do you want to just briefly tell us what the imam's achievements say in brief?
Thank you, Chairperson. The imam has got like a BCom from UNISA and a certificate in theology. From the University of Umm Qura in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. And then he's the owner of Condo Developers, who built houses successfully on plot and planned land supplied by the City Council of Cape Town and the Divisional Council in Stellenbosch in areas of Mitchell's Plain, Yester River, Melrose, and Cryfontein during the 1980s. And then he's developed township in Clearly Estate, that is Dorset Investment Proprietor Limited in Port Elizabeth, 1984 and 85. And honored by P Municipality by having a street named after him in Clearly Park, Port Elizabeth. He's the chairman of Lima Development Consortium of Black Economic Empowerment Builders and Developers. Also the chairman of Akia Science, FDEE Signage Company, and is the director of Command Securities, the only PE security company listed on the JSE. And then some positions that were held in the past and present, was elected first black president of the Cape Chamber of Commerce and Industry in 1996. And between 1997 and 2000, was the chairperson of Business Cape. And he's been twice nominated as Cape Town Business Personality in 1987 and 1996. Former member of the Cape Film Commission, vice chairperson Western Cape Heritage Council since 2004 to date, and former director of Westgrow, and was appointed by the Premier to represent civil society on the Provincial Development Council in 2005, and is a co-founder and currently on the board of Business Against Crime, and has got an honorary consul for the Republic of Tunisia.
Well, I'm becoming doubtful of my judgment.
it doesn't appear that any of those have to do with public service. But not public service. It doesn't have anything to do with public service.
The Imam is a very important figure in our politics. Yeah.
Yes.
And you
your mic so that you're properly recorded.
Yeah, Imam Ali Khidin is a very important person in the case. But I don't see the judicial office or the 10 years as an advocate or attorney or the extensive public finance management or the MPs. They are just not there, are they? Yeah.
All right. Maybe one may have been carried away by the stature and the achievements of the imam, but applying the act strictly, clearly, we would be remiss of the law if we did not do that. All right. So we still stand at number 15. So we'll go up to number 15. 15 being a new. The previous 27 and now becoming a new number 15. So that's as far as we will go as regards that batch. All right. So we've clarified the two batches now. We're going to break. We've lost some of those minutes I wanted. So I'm going to urge that we come back at 11:15. Is it, what time is tea?
Yeah, we booked it for
9:00. It looks like they're to starve you from now until lunch. Do we have lunch? You can organize. Can we ask him in Kosi? No more. But what if we're going to sit after the house? Is that We agreed, and like I said, the chair of church said if need be, we can be allowed to sit in the afternoon. And I think we agreed we will sit in the afternoon. Yes. So that should justify us demanding lunch. I am... Of course, we will go to the house first. But I'm just saying if we're working beyond...
No.
Just saying that we work, break for lunch, go to the house, come back, and because we're working throughout the day, we think that should justify lunch. But anyway, there are powers that be. I can demand as much as I like. Certain powers make decisions. So I'm just in the same position as you. All right. But for now, whilst we're breaking, he'll quickly organize tea because there was no tea arranged for 11 o'clock either, and I think we'll need it. All right.
We're back at 11:45.
Look, you're not finding 27. The name.
No,
is
it's there.
I have a fix for you that I want to take why you were worried that this person.
Do you want to quickly just tell us what number 27 is and what number 15 is? No. We want everybody to be on board. This is a screening process. It's not an indication of preference process. All right. So it has nothing to do with whether we like 27 or we don't. It's about whether 27. Meet the criteria or not.
Thank you for correcting me. I can't find him. But Natasha, Michael, and I have worked through this entire stack. We have our
maybe let's look. Let's look at 27.
I can't find him.
Just quickly tell us what 27 says. Are you asking somebody else to arrange the tea or no?
Because I have to run up and down to the kitchen and it's quite new, so everyone is...
Thank you,
Chair. The reason why 27 was moved up was basically for the same reasons we moved up the imam, because he's also one of the most religious...
It was at a point when I was fairly spirited
mentioned. I just thought that people of the clergy would be excellent potential public protectors to bring all the moral values to the office. You know? Did you want to use the mic? Yeah. Maybe I should go to the working group and get more inspiration there. But maybe it was those moments when I was inspired about the potential contribution that the religious community could bring to this very valuable position. But do you want to just quickly tell us what could have inspired me there? Because we may end up with number 14, actually.
I said Mr. Ndaba has got a diploma in ministry from the Union Bible Institute that he obtained in 1980, and then he's got a diploma in marketing that he, from Tamerlane College that he obtained in 1983. Then he's got a diploma from Fort Hare University in 1982. Then he's got a degree in theology from Nova University in the USA that he obtained in 1987, degree BA from CI Bible Seminary in 1995, excuse me. Then he got diploma in advanced, it's just a diploma in advanced that he obtained from the Union Bible Institute in 1995. Then he's got a degree in Master of Theology from the Christ the Lamb School in 1997.
Should be advanced theology as well. All right.
But it doesn't
yeah. Can you just go through experience, his experience, leave out the divinity question.
Why worried about this in that way?
Chairperson, should we continue to trust your judgment?
I think my judgment failed me on this occasion. So it does appear that again, in moments of spiritual upliftment, I may have thought, like with the imam, that this person qualified. But it looks like we're going to have to go up to number 14, I'm afraid.
Up to number 14.
All right. Okay. Right. We're breaking now for a good 25 minutes or so. And hopefully in the process, some tea will be arranged. I don't know how long it will take to get here, but we'll see. In the meantime, we'll just have our own little caucuses, and then when we come back, we're going to agree out of the 14, who do we shortlist of the old bench? Period. Are we going to proceed immediately onto the second bench? With the 30 minutes, have allowed us sufficient time.
We can read it, yes.
We'll see.
I don't think that,
all right. The more we should then give us a good 30 minutes then. All right? So 11:30, we shall return. But let's agree, provided that the tea is here, we won't come back until we've drank. All right? Secretary, you are released to go organize the tea in the meantime. We pause. ANC soldiers, I want you to come closer to me.
Or you go to the next room, because there is.
Yeah, you people can... Or should we move?
To the next room. We'll leave you, we'll go to the next
can
room.
Can we go to my office downstairs? Challenges that are associated with filling such a critical such a critical vacancy. I can assure you, even that did not necessarily make things very easy. All right. I get the feeling that the ANC is going to propose that we can only shortlist insofar as the first batch is concerned. where previous work had been done. But as far as the second batch, which we only received this morning, is concerned, we would want to do justice to that, in the sense that we would need more time to look to go through the CVs properly. So the idea that we would want to reconvene in the afternoon would suit us in terms of going through the second batch shortlisting process at that point, because the lunch break would have given us some space to do justice to that. But if I am not misrepresenting the ANC position, would be the proposal in terms of process, so that we can then go into the first batch and decide on the priority names coming out of that one. Is there any objection? Yes, Mr. Jovo?
Well, Chairperson, I do understand what the ANC wants to do, but because you gave us more time than we anticipated, we'll work very hard to make sure that we have to look in the second batch. Therefore, it would be wise, therefore, when the ANC look at lunchtime to the second batch, know how do we feel on the other side.
Yes.
So that when we come back after lunch, we won't waste time. We look at the pool.
No, that
will be better than to go clean out without understanding where we stand.
Excellent. I think I simply presented the ANC position. Obviously, we then need to hear the other positions and then marry the two so that we have a collective position. Yes, Honorable George?
No, I wanted to add what Babando, because some of us had to go to both,
yes.
And probably whilst we also quickly consulted, for instance, from our side now we've got a list of 5 names,
all right.
Which I believe it would be good.
From both batches.
From both batches.
All right.
Which we want to present so that when you go, and you know what we've got, Babu, yes. What you've got, so that
yes.
You... I think it would be better that way, because you are the only ones who still have to go and look at the second batch.
All right. Okay, Ms. Smith, you want to say something?
Well, we express our sympathy at the slowness with which the ANC moves. We are all ready. I have a list of 6. We have worked through the entire second batch, having already done that. I will give you 6 names when you revert, and Ms. Michael will have something similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Any other?
And if we can ever help to speed things up, and so on, as
yeah.
Mr. George has indeed offered, and if we can give guidance or lead you through the TV.
You have advantage that we had to move to a certain venue while we were starting discussing, and we had to come back. Take that into consideration.
Yeah. Can I indicate that that's just an indication that the ANC has faith in this democratic process where a collective wisdom across, the political spectrum that's reflected here can only enhance the route towards getting the best possible candidate for public perspective. All right. Maybe we should start with those that are ready and end up with those that are not so ready. Who amongst the ready people would like to kick start? Honorable Ndlovu?
I want to kick start the, just to put the name, well, putting the names in the pool, isn't it? Yes, Chairperson. The IFP side is looking at Michalisene Michael Mthembu. The first batch. The first batch is Michalisene Michael Mthembu. Mthembu. What number? Okay. Oh, now you want me to say the number too? Okay. The second one is Nzamo Alexander Gombe. The third one is Tulisile Nomkhosi Madonsela. The last one in the first batch is the Mamiki Thabisa Shai. Those are the four names on the first batch. Shai's number is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In the first batch, Shai is number 5, Advocate Mamiki Thabisa Shai. That's the first batch. Okay? Let me leave you there because we don't want to confuse it. Let's take the first batch first.
Maybe that's full list.
Oh, okay. The second batch, Chairperson, it's Muhammad Ali Chikli. Is it Chikli or Chikla? Chikla.
Number 13,
yes. The second one is Advocate Linda Pinar, number 10. The third one is Robert W. Skosana. The fourth one is Andre Elisa Mpofu. Those are the fourth one. Those are the fourth one from the new list.
All right, Mr. Josh. Well, can I just say, just if you are in agreement with any of the names, just indicate so that we just tick your confirmation of that name, and then add them in it.
The number one with us, which is in the first list, is number 5 in the first list, Advocate Thabisa Shai. That is the current deputy public protector, which confirms what Babandov also had in some number. The second one is Professor Nzamo Alexander Gumbi, which is number 4 in the first list, which also he got. Then the other one is Tulisile Nomkhosi Madonsela, which he also had. That is number 11. And the other one is Advocate A.E. Mpofu. I'm not sure whether he has it. It's number 4 in the new list. And the other one is Advocate L. Pinar, which is 10. In the new list, and my number 6 is which is the last one, Mhlaliseni Michael Mthembu, which is number 10 in the old list, which also is. I've got 10 from the new list and 10.
Good.
Yeah.
And Chairman, through you, may I ask?
All right, that is your full list.
But what's the second? It was Edward Shai, and the second one? Gumbi.
Shai, Gumbi, Matonzela, and Mthembu, the old one. The new one is Mpofu and Pinar.
Yes.
Oh, okay. That is cool.
So basically, all 6 of your names are also reflected in the IFP's list.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
right.
Looks like.
Okay.
We've got more.
Yeah, just have a little.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yes.
Fine. So it looks
on.
Like we there's a lot of
consensus
building up. All right. Let's go to the
DA. Chief from the old list, number 10.
Mthembu.
Then number 11 from the old list as well.
Yes,
Madonsela. Then from the new list, number 3. which is Advocates Hosanna.
That's the new list.
The new list, yeah. Number three. Number four.
Is who?
Hosanna. Number four, which is Mpofu. Number 10, which is Advocate Pinar. And number 13, which is Advocate Chiktai.
What's your last one?
Chikcha.
Number 13, Advocate Chikcha.
This was first brought to us by our friends by the UN.
Some of those memorings are quite loaded, profound comments. Do you want to share them?
No.
It's magic, but it's still at a very, very infant stage. It did not go beyond. Okay.
UDM?
Yes. Yes.
Use your mic, sir. UDL?
Yeah. In the odd list is number 4, Professor Gumbi.
Gumbi.
Number 10, Professor Mtembu. I'm sorry, Mr. Michael Mtembu.
Mtembu?
Yes. And number 11, Matonvet.
Matonvet.
In the new list, number 4, Advocate Booth. Number 10, Advocate Pinar. Number 10, Advocate Pinar. And number 13, Advocate Chikte.
Now our first is 38. Very easy.
Put
your mic on, sir, so that you won't record.
Oh, thank you.
You have the joke, Chairperson.
All right, Ms. Lajla. Chairperson, can I just ask if the names as presented, are they in order of priority or it's just names? Okay.
Just names.
All right.
We're putting the names in the pool. All right.
Yes. Fine. Okay. The ANC.
The ANC.
Thank you, Chairperson. I must first of all say this. Names are not in order of preference. And they are the following names. Advocate Shai.
That's number?
I didn't note the number. I wrote the names. Advocate Shai. And then the next name, Mr. Mtembu.
Oh.
And the other name is Advocate Mukaba.
Number three?
Oh, scrambled too much.
This is the new one.
This is the old one.
Number 8 is
the old one.
Okay.
This is number 7. Eight.
Yeah, Mukaba is number 8, Chairperson.
So 8 is the new name now.
Yeah, 8 is the new name.
It's new name in what we're presenting.
Yeah.
In all the list that have been presented.
Yeah.
The first name that is new. The first new name.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I continue?
Continue.
Yeah. Then the next name is Professor Gumbi.
Number?
Gumbi, I will tell you now.
Four.
Gumbi is number 4. And then? Should I continue?
Yes.
Yeah, the other name is Mrs. J.J. Brainard.
Oh, my God. You're coming right
on tonight. All right.
Chairperson, that the names I've given you, the names I've given you are from the old, the first batch. I haven't given you any names from the second batch because we felt we need some time as the ANC to look at these new CVs we received this morning. That is correct.
From the ANC, we did agree that Advocate Madonsela would also be included here.
Oh, Madonsela. That's the fifth name. Oh.
I confirm that Chairperson.
Madonsela.
I confirm that. Advocate Tuli Madonsela.
That means the ANC has come up with two new names.
It seems to me that the only names that are not collectively identified by everybody, it's two names from the ANC, who is number 2 and number 8, and from the IFP, which is number...
What?
There's nobody in isolation. It's only the ANC which
has
got
10.
It's only
the ANC. You're right. All right. So all in all, how many names have we arrived at insofar as... Both lists are concerned. 1, 2, 3.
Okay, not
10.
Yeah, I've got 10 names.
10, yeah.
I thought so. If you want to come back with 9
yeah. Can we agree that we come back, all right, after the ANC having looked at the second batch?
Yes.
And if they have any additions to the names that have already been identified by the other parties of the second batch, all right, they can put those forward. Otherwise, if their name from the second batch is exactly the same, then they'll indicate that as well. Then we would have more or less 10, and if they come start with another name or two, maximum 12 names. And then we would then make a final decision as to whether we call all the 12 or whether there is room to further trim down the set. All right? And that is the way forward.
Yes.
Can I be allowed just some privilege?
Yes. Can you use the microphone? Yeah.
To take out for lunch, Advocate Londo. I just want to persuade and
that number
and on the name of Baynard, at least. Yeah. Oh. She will understand why this good work they have done, that name is spoiling it.
Did you want
to I grew up in the ANC and I was taught that I'm a fellow of the ANC, like Comrade Mlamedi George. His name is Mama Mene, so I'll listen to him.
All right. Okay.
You're accepting lunch.
All right.
Is that an acceptance of lunch?
All right. Look, basically what we're saying is that this at this point in time, on the face of it, prima facie appear to be the outstanding candidate. All right, and I'm glad that independently of each other, we seem to have seen things with the same kind of lens, despite our divergent political backgrounds. So let's see. Let's just allow this ANC the final bit to just check through the list, the new list. And then when we come back immediately after the House adjourns, because I understand we have a short sitting, so we wouldn't want you to miss out on the statements of the two ministers. All right.
and then we'll immediately convene here. Let's give each other maximum, what, 10, 15 minutes after, immediately after the sitting?
Let's agree that we walk from the chamber to the chamber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If, do you think we can secure G26? Well, we don't know if it's occupied or not.
But we will give direction to those who just arrived.
Can we ask the secretary to confirm if we can secure that venue at G26 and to send a note to everybody in the house to that effect?
Well, in the house.
Yeah, a note through the table staff to each member of the committee. All right? In fact, a note. A proper note.
To us. No, yeah. Don't through the new person who's going to make us start from the fresh.
All right. Colleagues, did we succeed to persuade anybody to give us free lunch?
Afternoon tea.
This parliament is funny. All right, colleagues, thank you very much for your hard work.
That is the price you pay when
hard and salary for today. We'll see you later.